GeorgiaPod.com or Joe Lower. Hey, this is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia and English coming to you from sunny San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 15th of January, 2015. As you may be able to tell, I have a bit of a cold. Hope I don't cough. Or if I do, I'll try and figure out a way to edit it out, or maybe not. On this date in 1559, Elizabeth Tudor, the 25-year-old daughter of Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, is crowned Queen Elizabeth I at Westminster Abbey. All of this 2 months after the death of her half-sister, the Catholic Queen Mary I, with whom she didn't hit it off so well. Yes, monarchic succession, a little tough in those days. 1919, a large molasses tank in Boston, Massachusetts, bursts, and a wave of molasses rushes through the streets, killing 21 people and injuring 150. 1936, after President Roosevelt increases inheritance tax as part of the New Deal, the Ford Foundation is born. 1943, the world's largest office building, the Pentagon, is dedicated in Arlington, Virginia. 1953, in his Senate confirmation hearings to be Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles calls for liberation of captive peoples under communism. He and his brother, Alan Dulles, who was to head the CIA, were busy, busy bees for the duration of the Eisenhower administration. Great book about that called The Brothers just came out. 1970, Biafra surrenders to Nigeria. Very interesting, sad war, worthy of study. On that same day, in 1970, a young army captain, Muammar Gaddafi, becomes the premier of Libya. 1981, Pope John Paul II receives a delegation from Solidarity at the Vatican, led by Lech Walesa. 2001, Wikipedia goes online. By the way, when they ask, give them money. Birthdays today are Molière, Alexander Griboedov, Hugh Trevor Roper, Gamal Abdel Nasser, and Martin Luther King Jr. Today is, sadly, particularly if you are Igbo, Armed Forces Day in Nigeria. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Following up on previous weeks and months' stories, Giya Getsadze was appointed as Ukraine's first deputy justice minister. He will also head the Ukraine Council of Reforms. He is a former deputy interior minister and former governor of Imereti. Three other former Georgian officials, Jaba Ebanoidze, Khatia Shelia, and Georgi Tsilakauri, have been nominated for positions in Ukraine's justice ministry. All have applied for Ukrainian citizenship. I know Jaba and Giya, and these are extremely competent people. This appointment of senior foreigners is a very interesting thing. I wonder if it could become an international precedent. In a statement released on the 8th of January, LGBT advocacy group Eden Toba said that their director, Irakli Vacharadze, has been receiving death threats on Facebook and by phone after Vacharadze criticized Ilya II's Christmas speech, which was anti-gender equality. They explained that Vacharadze was writing on his personal Facebook, that the post was soon spread on a pro-Russian website, and in just a few hours he was being harassed. People threatened to rape and kill Vacharadze and said they know his address, and also threatened to destroy Eden Toba. Eden Toba pinpointed individuals involved in the harassment campaign, priest Antimos, who was one of the organizers of the violent 17th of May rally, Georgi Gabedava, who is a former, and I say this with air quotes, not sure if the pause will sufficiently indicate the contempt with which I hold this numbskull, political prisoner, since he was released as such, and is known for aggressive nationalism, violence, and stupidity, as well as some religious fundamentalists and Free Generation leaders who plan to protest in front of the Eden Toba office on the 10th of January. Eden Toba writes that, quote, "It is clear that religious extremism is increasing tremendously in Georgia, and the government purposefully turns a blind eye," end quote. And it will also, and it also has the active support of some priests. They are, of course, correct in what they're saying about religious extremism. Estonia's Prime Minister Taavi Rõivas visited Tbilisi on the 12th and 13th of January, meeting with Prime Minister Khadabashvili, President Mark Velashvili, and the Parliamentary Speaker, Dato Zubashvili. He said that the country is a strong supporter of EU visa liberalization with Georgia and that it will be one of the deliverables at the Eastern Partnership Riga Summit in May. Rõivas also opened the Georgian-Estonian Business Forum during the trip. NDI is suspending, that's the National Democratic Institute, is suspending its activities in Armenia due to financial reasons, according to the country director, Kheram Sarkisyan. Apparently, NDI Armenia ceased to receive funding from its main sponsor, USAID, so starting March 2015, they will cease their activities for an indefinite time until funding is available. Sarkisyan, who has been with NDI forever, explained that USAID prefers to fund local organizations, not international ones. He says that this has nothing to do with any political connotations or is not connected with Armenia joining the Eurasian Economic Union. No other information on that. There was a NATO-Georgia Commission meeting on the 14th of January in Brussels to discuss Georgia's progress and reforms. The parties discussed Georgia's annual national program, document that covers military reforms, foreign security policy, and economic development. Following the meeting, NATO's Deputy Secretary General Alexander Vershbow wrote via his Twitter account that, quote, NATO is fully committed to Georgia's full membership. All tools are in place to move forward with Georgia's aspirations. President Margvelashvili appointed Kaja Koshoridze as his advisor for justice and human rights issues. Koshoridze was the head of GILA for 2 years until December 2014. And Gheorghe Abashishvili, the president's economic advisor, will also serve as deputy chief of the president's administration. Coalition for an Independent and Transparent Judiciary, a coalition group, is calling on the president and prime minister to ensure a transparent and inclusive process in selecting, nominating, and appointing new chairperson of the Supreme Council. They released a statement on the 12th of January saying that the selection process must be protected from the influence of political groups. President Margvelashvili responded the next day that the president's office is open for consultations and that he's ready to listen to all the stakeholders in the process. As a reminder, the 12-year-long term in office of the incumbent chairman, Kote Kubalashvili, will expire in late February 2015. The president has to nominate a candidate, which will then require endorsement by parliament. At least 76 MPs must support a candidate for them to be approved as chairperson of the Supreme Court. President Margvelashvili has yet to nominate a candidate. In late December, Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani called on him to launch consultations with government and political groups in parliament in order to select an acceptable nomination. The lari will depreciate again. The National Bank has reportedly established a new official exchange rate. From the 17th of January, $1 will cost 1.92 lari, while on the 12th of January, 1 lari was 1.91. Following up on previous week's stories on the president, prime minister publicly not hitting it off so well, speaking on the 13th of January, President Margvelashvili expressed hope that government members will attend his annual State of the Nation address in parliament in Kutaisi in February. Government members were not present at Margvelashvili's first annual address in parliament last year. Prime Minister Khadabashvili commented the next day on the 14th of January that government members are not obliged to attend the symbolic events. He asked journalists not to grant too much importance to the issue. Just so mature. According to Misha, there are hundreds of Georgian citizens who have been sent to fight with Daesh in Syria, and that the government is turning a blind eye. He was giving an interview to Rustaviotti on the 12th of January from his home in the United States. He said that the government calls Georgians fighting for Kiev and eastern Ukraine mercenaries and provocateurs and agents of the UNM, but says nothing of the Georgians fighting in Syria. As a reminder, in late December, the Defense Ministry attributed responsibility for the death of Georgian volunteers fighting in Ukraine with representatives of the former Georgian authorities. President Margvelashvili responded to Misha's Rustaviotti interview the next day. He accused Misha of manipulating strategic issues of the country's security for his own interests and told him to stop these attempts to damage the country's stability and state interests. Following up on previous week's stories, Bidzina Ivanishvili has abandoned the idea that he himself will host a political talk show, which will run on his son Beda's TV station, GDS-TV. The launch of the talk show has been postponed several times. At the end of 2014, it was announced that the show 2030 would go on the air in February 2015. The producer of the talk show confirmed to Georgia Media that it will go on air in February. BI will be a guest on the show, but not a host. Preparatory construction work has begun for Panorama Tbilisi project without the necessary permits from the Ministry of Economy. The project is by the Georgian Co-Investment Fund and has BI's public support. Rustaviotti videotaped the construction and were then prevented from filming further. On the 13th of January, members of Free Generation protested outside Free Zone Group's office, saying they want the group disbanded and throwing eggs at them. One of the Free Generation leaders, Lado Sadgobelashvili, who, by the way, was one of the people harassing Eden Toba, was detained by police along with two others. Another historical archaeological site is allegedly being destroyed by construction work. In a report by Rustaviori, archaeologist Yulon Gagoshidze talks about excavation work at the Beri Kuldebi settlement on the river Prone, about 30 kilometers west of Gori. Gagoshidze claims that the Beri Kuldebi site contains traces of the Uruk culture that date back before the Sumner civilization and could be over 6,000 years old. Booyah, we're the oldest civilized place in the world. He said that it appears that the State Agency for Protection of Cultural Heritage and that he has appealed to them and that they have assured him that the work at Beri Kuldebi would stop. News report named the company doing the work as the China Nuclear Industry. Huh, interesting. They're excavating gravel to build the Tbilisi-Sanaki-Lesalidze highway. The manager of the construction project said the Environment Ministry gave them permission to carry out excavation work and that they have a proper license. Culture Ministry now says it is necessary to study the site before granting work permission, but no study has been conducted, so it must be that the license was issued illegally, if there is one. On the 12th of January, five people were killed in a shootout in the Gali district of Abkhazia, according to Abkhazia's MIA. The shootout happened during a special operation going after a criminal group known for robberies and kidnapping for ransom. Those killed include a state security service employee, a Russian border guard, and three people from the criminal group, is the information we have from the Interior Ministry of Abkhazia. On the 12th of January, a 57-year-old Georgian man was taken from his garden in a village cut by the border with South Ossetia. He was taken by, or the administrative boundary, as they say. He was taken to the detention facility in Tsikhinvali. According to his family, it was Ossetians who took him, not Russian border guards. Locals say they are now afraid of tending their fruit gardens in the area for fear they will be abducted too. The day before, on the 11th of January, a man disappeared in the village Ergneti, which also borders South Ossetia of the famous market. His family believed he might have gotten lost and was detained by Russian soldiers. ProCredit Bank in Georgia has changed their policy and are not giving out loans less than $14,000. Apparently, they've sold their small loan portfolio, though for now we don't have more information about that. Policy is to focus their service on their gold and medium clients. They are also decreasing their branches by 50%. Interesting project, one worthy of study for any journalists out there that would like to take a look at something interesting going on behind the scenes. Prime Minister Kharabashvili attended the Je suis Charlie Paris solidarity rally on the 11th of January. Previously, the Prime Minister, President, and Foreign Minister all issued separate statements condemning the 7th of January terrorist attack on the office of satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. Addressing the Georgian public on the 13th of January, Minister of Internal Affairs Alexandre Chikaidze pledged to intensify efforts to stop domestic violence in Georgia, that it will be his ministry's top priority in 2015 and 2016, and that if it still happens, the offender, quote, the offenders will be punished to the fullest extent of the law, end quote. Tbilisi City Hall is planning a multi-level parking area to ease traffic woes and sidewalk parking. The new parking system would be a competitor of CT Park, according to Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania. He also reiterated that they have numerous questions for CT Park concerning its prices, deals, and services. As a reminder, in the summer, former Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava was charged with embezzlement over a CT Park contract. CT Park contract is completely crazy, has been violated, and should end immediately. I'm not sure why it hasn't. However, more parking is not at all the solution. Better enforcement of parking violations by the police is a good idea, along with more up-to-date urban policy regarding cars, in my view. The 9th of January, locals from the village of Kurtsanisi, just south of Tbilisi, protested against Chinese company. Boy, lots of Chinese showing up these days. Chinese company Sinohydro Corporation Limited, which they claim is destroying their farmland. Sinohydro Corporation Limited is excavating sand for the construction of a new section of road from Tbilisi to Rustavi. The company's representatives claim they have a license from the Environment Ministry to carry out the work. Villagers nonetheless say they plan to take the company to court, and that if the excavation work isn't halted, they will block the Tbilisi-Rustavi highway. Chinese company won a tender to carry out the construction work, which started in April 2014 and must be finished within 18 months. The project is financed by the Asia Development Bank and the Georgian government, costing 88 million lari. The International Finance Corporation, IFC, a member of the World Bank Group, is pledging to loan the government of Georgia $8.5 million to mobilize a parallel loan of 5 million euros from Rabobank to expand Georgia's only glass bottle manufacturer, MENA, which is owned by Anadolu Cam from Turkey. Encountering some protests at their U.S. performances. Both of them have expressed their support for President Putin's actions in Ukraine, and Gurdjieff publicly supported Russia's invasion of Georgia in 2008, immediately holding a concert in Skhinvali, where you could see the Georgian villages on fire as he played. Activists from Arts Against Aggression said they will picket outside as the Gurdjieff-led Mariinsky Theater kicks off its two-week residency at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on the 14th of January. The activists also plan to demonstrate later this month at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City, where Nat Trebko is set to star in a Gurdjieff-conducted Tchaikovsky opera. Georgia officially opened an embassy in Saudi Arabia, in the capital, Riyadh. Previously, the closest Georgian embassy for Saudi Arabia nationals was in Egypt. The mission also is to deepen cooperation with the Gulf Cooperation Council and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Turkish company Kaya Group is planning to invest in textile production in Georgia. Products will be exported to the EU market. Representatives of Kaya Group met with Prime Minister Kadivashvili on the 12th of January to discuss. Agency of State Property is starting a full-scale inventory process of all state buildings throughout the country, according to Deputy Minister of Economy Dmitry Kumsishvili. The aim is to make an inventory and then privatize unrecorded state property. BI's Kartu Charity Foundation announced that it will finance the building of a new technical university in Tbilisi. The project is planned to take a number of years. Previously, Misha had the idea of opening a technical university, but in Batumi. Prime Minister Kadivashvili commented that the Kartu-funded university in Tbilisi would be 10 to 20 times better than Saakashvili's intended project. When the university is set up, you can get the engineers to actually figure out how many times better it is. Five-star luxury Rijos Hotel opened in the resort area of Likani in Borjomi region. The investor companies behind the Rijos Hotel project are Georgia's JSC Partnership Funds, a state-owned shareholding company, and a Kazakh company, Kazmunai Gas Services Limited, which provides oil and gas exploration and production services. In total, more than $48 million will be invested in the hotel project. In general, it is commonly understood in Georgia that a Kazakh investment is usually a Russian investment. On the 14th of January, members of Free Zone, the pro-UNM youth group, unleashed a huge banner from scaffolding on Rustaveli across from the old parliament. It read, "Next year in Suchumi, Suchumi is our Jerusalem." They were dressed in Santa outfits. Police were trying to detain them. The old Suchumi, Jerusalem, Santa Claus connection. Earlier this week, the Chief General Staff of the Georgian Armed Forces, Major General Vakhtang Kapanadze, was in Afghanistan for high-level meetings. He met with NATO Supreme Allied Commander for Europe, General Phil Breedlove, at Bagram Air Force Base. World Bank, the Japan Social Development Fund, and the Biological Farming Association, Elkana, are granting a $2.5 million project for empowering poor communities and micro-entrepreneurs in Georgian tourism. Catchy name, that. The three-year project will focus on generating employment in the Kakheti and Imereti regions by growing small and medium-sized enterprises in tourism and organic food processing sectors. Two Dunkin' Donuts stores opened in Tbilisi on the 13th of January, one in Vake and one in Sabartalo. The U.S. Ambassador to Georgia, Richard Norland, cut the ribbon at the opening ceremony on Chavchavadze, along with Tbilisi Mayor David Narmania, and CEO of Visoil Group, who brought Dunkin' Donuts to the Georgian market. Ambassador Norlin said the Dunkin' Donuts arrival in Tbilisi was an example of another successful U.S.-Georgian joint partnership and a sign of increasing commercial ties. There was a large crowd and long lines to get donuts. I have to say, this is once more proof that Tbilisi is ahead of San Francisco, because there are no Dunkin' Donuts in San Francisco. It's kind of a Northeast thing. Dunkin' Donuts has terrible donuts compared to Krispy Kreme. It'll have real progress will be when there's a Krispy Kreme in Georgia, but it does have famously great coffee. In parliamentary news, on the 15th of January, a new law, the Waste Management Code, went into effect. Under the law, people who litter on the streets can be fined 120 lari. Let's hope lots of those tickets are written. This includes throwing out a cigarette butt on the street and throwing garbage out of a car window. Previously, the barely ever enforced law for littering on the streets was 3 to 5 lari. The amendment to the administrative offenses law was proposed on March 24th by the Ministry of Economy. New article will be included to a new part of Article 2000. Article 312 in the Criminal Code, that any kind of participation in illegal groups abroad, including recruitment and training, will be punished by imprisonment as part of the government's attempts to clamp down on Georgians fighting in Syria. The meme this week is a photo from Facebook by a page dedicated to the dude character from The Big Lebowski. The joke is some kind of movie quotes referencing both The Big Lebowski and Karate Kid, and wax on, wax off. But the picture is Misha sitting at a bar with an exasperated look. It's a photo from the New York Times piece on him being a Williamsburg hipster, much commented on Georgian Facebook. Stuff to read. Paul Rimple for Eurasianet writes on the history and revival of Georgian cinema. Very much worth reading. New York Times has a list of 52 places you should travel in 2015. Georgia's there, as is Baku. On that note, Elite Daily has a list of, quote, 50 unpredictable and non-cliché places to travel to in your 20s, end quote, which includes Mestia and Svaneti. And somehow it's just awesome that there's a thing called Elite Daily that has a listicle of non-cliché places, and Mestia's on it as the cherry on top. Telegraph has a list of 10 extraordinary destinations you've probably never heard of. Georgia's there, luring you with, you might not have heard of Kakheti, but you're almost guaranteed to have enjoyed its most famous invention, wine, end quote. Thrillist is ranking of the best countries to eat and drink in Europe. Georgia's number 4 behind Italy, France, and Spain. 4th? Poof! That's ridiculous. Finally, Uncornered Market also has their list of offbeat travel destinations, including Georgia, and they don't brag about wine, but about the people. Okay, I'm getting a little bit sick of all of these completely ridiculous sites that, I mean, it's nice, but, okay, I don't know. I think what this shows is not that Georgia is becoming more popular, but there are just an unbelievable number of preposterous little listicle sites all over the place that are getting content from each other, and Georgia happens to be on that because there's some nice pictures of Georgia. Anyway, on to more serious stuff. Corneli Kakachia gives Open Democracy a rundown on the political setup in Georgia after the November crisis. As always with Corneli, very much worth reading. CRC blog this week looks at autocrats' dilemma, how to buy votes without actually buying them and getting in trouble. Using Ministry of Finance data from 2006 to 2013, they look at cycles of government, social spending, and fiscal coercion as a way of getting votes. Brilliant set of charts. Take a look. Watch a video of Georgian and Corsican choir singing together, a traditional Georgian Alilo Christmas song. Will Cathcart for the Georgian Journal analyzes the government's 2020 vision and social economic development strategy. Soviet-era short video on Tbilisi in the 30s that's interesting. Take a look. All this stuff is posted on the forum. Geo capital number this week is 46.9 million. This is the amount of remittances in dollars sent from Russia to Georgia in December 2014. Total for December 2014, the volume of money transfers to Georgia from all countries abroad constituted $116.1 million, meaning remittances from Georgia account for 40%. For those in London, the British Georgian Society presents a Georgian folk evening, a concert by Georgian folk dance group Pesvebi, which can't be spelled right, as well as Georgian choir Masbinzeli. It's on the 17th of January at 6 p.m. at the Rudolf Steiner House, which is right across the street from London Business School, by the way. Ticket price is £10. It's right near Baker Street. Write Eka Cox, that's EKA.COX at live.com for tickets. Call for applications, TEDx Tbilisi 2015. Please nominate speakers you think should be on stage at TEDx this May. They need to be articulate and have something interesting to say, a strong connection to Georgia or the Caucasus. Good TEDx speakers come from all walks of life and professions. Think broadly. You can access the application. We'll have the link. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tabilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website. That's www.tabilpod.com. I didn't mention it above, but on this date, in 1972, it hit number one on the U.S. Billboard charts for the first time. This is Don McLean with American Pie.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. King was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned. Then we sang dirges in the dark, the day the music
played a marching tune. We all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. Cause the players tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed today? The music died. We started singing bye. Clenched in fists of rage, no angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. Today the music died. He was singing bye. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. In the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast. The day the music died, and they were singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to